The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
President Trump announcing tariffs. He says this on Truth Social. We have subsidized Denmark and all of the countries of the European Union for many years by not charging them tariffs. It is time for Denmark to give back. World peace is at stake, he says. China and Russia want Greenland, and there is not a thing that Denmark can do about it. Starting on February 1st, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, the UK, the Netherlands, and Finland will be charged a 10% tariff on any and all goods sent to the United States.
I don't understand. So we pay for NATO because NATO wants us to protect them from Russia.
Sure.
And now these NATO countries say we're the threat as we're trying to take Greenland, which Denmark's not able to actually really protect from China and Russia incursions or potential incursions. How is this? Why are we paying people who see us as a threat to protect them?
Well, let's go back, Rachel, to 1951. The U.S. government made a treaty with the Danes, with Denmark.
That's right.
That the United States could station military forces there. And Kim Strassel did an interesting column in the Wall Street Journal saying that Trump pretty much has already taken over Greenland. They have everything. We can deploy as many forces as we want. Of course, President Trump wants his Golden Dome. Where do you put that? You have to put that in the Arctic. President has 3 years to get that deployed. That's a big part of this. By the way, if the United States were to buy Greenland from Denmark, wouldn't be the first time the United States bought islands from Denmark. Have you heard of the Virgin Islands?
Yes.
1917, they were known as the Danish West Indies. The United States bought the Virgin Islands from
Denmark. How many bases do we have on Greenland?
We have a major Space Force base.
Just one.
But we've had multiple ones going. He mentioned the 50s going back to World War II, the Cold War. We have multiple bases there.
European Union diplomats say the bloc is ready to hit the U.S. with retaliatory tariffs. That's if Donald Trump makes good on his threats of tariffs against countries that oppose a U.S. takeover of Greenland. European leaders are trying to convince the U.S. president to drop the idea. Trump claimed in a Truth Social post on Sunday that Denmark hadn't done enough to counter the Russian threat to Greenland, adding, quote, it will be done.
Denmark and the other seven European countries threatened by U.S. tariffs have issued a joint statement warning against what they call a dangerous downward spiral, but also stating that they remain prepared for dialogue based on the principles of sovereignty and territorial integrity. But so far, there's little to suggest Washington is ready to engage in that kind of dialogue.
Earlier, Denmark's Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen said Europe would not yield to pressure and blackmail, and French President Emmanuel Macron urged the EU to consider an even stronger reaction, an option nicknamed the trade bazooka. The anti-coercion instrument, as it's officially called, would target U.S. goods and services and restrict access to the European single market.
It was quite a weekend. Makes your head spin. It's, as I was telling the producers coming in, I mean, you can't even hardly keep up with it. The pace of these very prophetic events. The Bible in Jeremiah 1 describes it as being a boiling pot, a seething pot. And you can see it. I mean, it's right now it's a trade war. Right now it's a war of words. But it is war. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. So much to get to, more than we probably will have time for, as per usual. But over the weekend, of course, we just passed the 40th anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death on Friday. And then from Friday on through to today, I mean, we've seen so many events that have to do with Ezekiel 4 and 5, the Mart of Nations, and Isaiah 23. I mean, what's the headline at the Trumpet website right now. The largest trade deal ever. Ever. And we've been talking about how the U.S. is going to be frozen out eventually. But just look at some of these latest developments. I mean, it's very sobering. We've said there's going to be a temporary resurgence. We don't know exactly how long that will be for the United States, but it does feel like that the tide of events is shifting from being behind President Trump to being against him. The world is aligning against President Trump in the United States. It's so clear. It's obvious what's happening. And who would have thought Greenland would ever be this lightning rod of controversy? Don't give us Greenland. We're going to slap tariffs on you. And then Europe responding to the U.S. The largest trade deal ever. Herbert Armstrong, this is from the Trumpet website. Herbert Armstrong foretold the merger of two massive trade blocks at America's expense. We've got to see the big picture here. We've got to take the long view. And even many in the MAGA base, I think they're a little disgruntled with President Trump right now because he is, you know, flexing his muscle overseas or, you know, as far as foreign policy goes. But then, you know, you're letting the thugs take over the streets of Minneapolis. Quite a few of us were praying earnestly over the weekend just for the success and the safety of our production, which Celtic Throne performed in Minneapolis last night. And here in the States, I mean, Minneapolis dominated the headlines over the weekend. But then you look at what happened internationally with the trade deal and so on. I'll get to that in Greenland and other things here in just a second. But this was a clip we didn't get around to playing on Friday's show. But here as a lead-in to the January 16 anniversary, you know, you've got that opposition leader from Venezuela. I forget her name, but she's visiting with President Trump. She won the Nobel Peace Prize, which is something President Trump, he has coveted from the beginning. And she comes to the White House and she basically gives him her Nobel Peace Prize. So here he is receiving a peace prize on the eve of January 16. Just as the world is arming for war, just as the world is about to explode in violence and war, just as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24. But here's this from Fox News last week, clip 12.
President Trump and Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado meeting at the White House where she gave him her Nobel Peace Prize. Watch this.
In spite of the Nobel Prize Committee saying that you couldn't transfer your Nobel Prize to anyone, especially President Trump, you did today. Why did you do that?
Because he deserves it. And it was a very emotional moment. I decided to present the Nobel Peace Prize medal on behalf of the people of Venezuela.
Over the weekend, President Trump was asked why he would want someone else's Nobel Prize. And he said this, "She offered it to me. I thought it was very nice. She said, you know, you've ended 8 wars and nobody deserves this prize more than in history than you. Nobody in history deserves this prize more than Donald Trump." And then he says, "I thought it was a nice gesture. And by the way, I think she's a very fine woman and we'll be talking again." I mean, what a statement. I mean, it came from her, but he, you know, he accepted it. And you've heard all through this past year all the wars that he stopped, and now he's got the big, you know, the board of peace. It's established. And then there's another board over the Middle East. Again, President Trump's heading it all up. But I guess what we would ask is, where is God? Where is the Prince of Peace? Jesus Christ. Where is the family of God making peace? I read a quote in class this morning. I should have brought it with me. It was Herbert Armstrong years ago. He was talking about just how it's going to take a few generations, even going into the wonderful world tomorrow, for there to be, you know, widespread peace and prosperity, because people are going to have to be re-educated. And Herbert Armstrong said, it's much harder to unlearn all of the false concepts, all of the man-made ideas, than it is to just learn new things. This world is going to have to unlearn a lot before it can finally receive the knowledge, the understanding that leads to peace, lasting peace, real peace. And yet here, the peacemakers today, they think that you can just establish a board or you can have a little bit of dialogue. It may get a little contentious here and there, but hey, what did he say about the board? I don't know if I have the quote with me. Maybe I gave it to you Friday. I can't remember, but he said it's basically the greatest board in history. This is from the trumpet brief Friday. Today, Donald Trump sent out invitations to his new board of peace over the weekend. It's about a lot more than Gaza. It creates an alternative United Nations with President Trump in a position somewhere between Secretary General and World King. And again, how do you feel like the world is receiving all of this news, these announcements, these tweets, these proclamations, these decrees? How do you think the European elites are viewing this? It says Donald Trump personally, not the office of U.S. president, is chairman of the board. With no term limits, President Trump could continue in that office indefinitely. He can hire and fire other members of the board and decide what other countries can be invited and veto any proposal he does not like. So it's like a replacement to the United Nations, you know, which is a failed organization as well. But is this the solution? Listen to this from, I forget where this is from, clip 4.
There is a sense coming mainly from the administration that they would like to broaden the reach of the Board of Peace and to even talking about replacing the current UN system. There's talk about charging countries $1 billion to join this Board of Peace. So it's clear that Gaza might be the beginning, but it isn't the end of the Board of Peace as far as the Trump administration is concerned. And it may, you know, that secondary role of kind of replacing existing multilateral institutions might even be more of a priority than its primary function in Gaza for this administration.
A world in crisis, as we've been saying. I mean, everything's being upended. You do have to give President Trump some credit for just the nonstop action. He's definitely taking the initiative. But if you look at the Drudge headline from yesterday, Canada leans toward China, Trump pushing the world away, the EU. Let me just look at my notes. There it is. The EU, South America create a free trade zone. Just look at the developments that have happened in and around January 16, the 40-year anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death. A voice of truth, as we say on our latest trumpet headline. He was a voice of truth. You had covered some of this on Friday, but you had Germany and European troops in Greenland to defy Trump. And again, I know it's just a handful of troops. It's mostly, you know, for the optics, but still, you can see the seething pot. You can see it. EU and Mercosur signed the latest trade deal in history, or largest trade deal in history. That's at the headlined at the Trumpet website right now. Canada, I think this was a few days ago, announced that its new strategic partnership is with China. And I think I played the clip on Friday where President Trump said, well, yeah, good for them. Here, Canada's reaching out to China, pulling away from America. And then Donald Trump, I think this happened on Friday, he announced the plan to move forward with phase two in the Hamas disarmament or ceasefire deal, even though Hamas hasn't complied, even though Israel was against it. This was at the website, or rather the morning brief, Mr. Hilliker. Did January 16 mark the end of the U.S.-Israel relationship? The diplomatic rift between the two countries began to widen last Wednesday when U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff overrode Israeli objections and officially declared the start of phase two of the Gaza peace plan. Forget about what Israel thinks. Look, we're just going forward with peace. We've got the board of peace in place. Mr. Hilliker says the next day, President Trump announced the Board of Peace, an overarching body to oversee the plan's implementation. Among world leaders he invited to join as founding members were Turkey's outspoken anti-Israel president, Erdogan, Egyptian President El-Sisi, and Prime Minister of Pakistan. As Richard Palmer wrote this morning, this board seems aimed at rivaling the UN Security Council. Then it says, on January 16th, the White House named an executive board for Gaza, a 15-member committee to oversee transitional governance and reconstruction. So all these problems, all these hotspots, they're being solved by all these boards, bringing in Turkey, bringing in Pakistan, bringing in Putin. Everybody's in it. I mean, everybody's involved. Everybody wants to make peace, right? You better think again. You think about this alliance between Europe and South America. My father writes, the largest trade deal ever. I mean, this was January 17th. This was on the website over the weekend, our website. The EU today signed the largest trade deal ever. The deal is with the Mercosur trade bloc, which includes Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay. It says, it quotes the president of Paraguay saying it's the largest free trade agreement in the history of humanity. Is this significant? I understand Americans, you know, they're upset about what's happening in Minneapolis and they're concerned about food prices and whatever else. Nobody's paying attention to this. That's why you need thetrumpet.com. That's why you need the Trumpet magazine. We offer a free one-year subscription. No cost, no obligation, so that you can understand the significance. Tomorrow in Ashen, it says, we will make history by creating one of the world's largest free trade areas, bringing together some 720 million people and a gross domestic product of over $22 trillion. That's what the Brazilian president said on January 16th. And then my father says this, Isaiah 23 and verse 3 prophesies that Europe will become the marketplace for the nations. I mean, listen, this is chapter and verse. This is Isaiah 23 and verse 3 being fulfilled. This deal is a major step, a major stepping stone toward that end. And then he says, we've been prophesying for over 65 years that this deal will happen. And now it's happened. Another prophecy fulfilled. This deal's been under negotiation for 25 years. My father says, in January 2019, I gave a Key of David program. America is being besieged economically, referring to this trade agreement and the besiegement of America, prophesied in Deuteronomy 28, verse 52. Here again, chapter and verse. Another fulfilled prophecy. It says, now that the deal is signed, the trade aspects can go into effect. with the approval of the European Parliament, with so much happening in our world, most Americans are paying little attention to this. Yes, that's right. Most people don't care. Doesn't affect them. If anything, they're upset that the Trump administration is, you know, not taking care of Minneapolis. He says, I guarantee they won't be able to ignore it indefinitely. This trade agreement will impact the whole world. It's going to affect your life dramatically. The seeds are being sown for a trade war and an economic siege that will help destroy America. As I say, the groundwork is set for Ezekiel 4 and 5, for Isaiah 23. The groundwork is being laid for so many of these prophecies to be fulfilled. You can see why Jesus said to watch world events and to pray, to get God involved in your watching so that you know what's significant, so that you know what's important. I mean, we're talking about a trade agreement that brings together 720 million people, a GDP of 22 trillion. What happens when the U.S. is frozen out of it? That's what's coming. Europe will draw a lot of power from its relationship with Latin America. Mr. Armstrong foretold that this combined power block would overtake the United States. His Plain Truth magazine stated in May 1962 that the United States is going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocks, Europe and Latin America, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. That's a direct quote. He was right. We recently just updated this book. It's now a book. It's got a spine now because there's so much. He was right. That quote I gave you was 1962. We've been talking about this for decades. My father says, again, you can get to this article at the website. Mr. Armstrong prophesied precisely what we're seeing today. This is a union that will be stronger than Russia and China. It will be stronger than the U.S. It will instigate a massive trade war, and America will be frozen out. The largest, you see it there on the website, the largest trade deal ever. It says here, understand what a momentous event is taking place on this date. This is, again, posted on Saturday, the 17th. And remember the man it points to, the man to whom God revealed this prophecy and all the foundational truths of the Bible, Herbert W. Armstrong. Study his teachings and turn to God, who taught him and empowered him and who is bringing these mighty prophecies to pass. If ever there's a time to be students of the Bible, of Bible prophecy, now is the time. We are on the brink. Tariffs, trade wars, wars over Greenland, the United States and Europe going at it, Putin on the march. This is, if you didn't know or understand Bible prophecy, you would think people would be a little nervous right about now, given how many nuclear weapons there are in the world today. Play this from France 24 in Europe, clip 6.
The question for Europe is, its operating procedure until now, its sort of default mode has been, you do not confront Donald Trump. What you do is you try to appease him, you try to flatter him, you try to cajole him. And the question is right now, the Greenland issue, if you want a crisis, whichever word you want to use, it comes down to Europe's own sovereignty, a European member's own self-determination, its own rights, its own territorial integrity. We're not talking about some far-off, far-fetched geopolitical prospect here. And the question being, if Europe can't stand up to Trump and push back in some way, shape, or form right now in this particular crisis, this is the ultimate litmus test, then when can it?
It's perfect. A perfect storm, isn't it? Trump's the bad guy. Europe's just reacting to Trump. Germany's just reacting to Trump. Yes, they're not sending in millions of soldiers to Greenland. But they're right now they're thinking, you know what we need? We need millions of soldiers. We need a German war machine. Well, that's in the works. Play this from the same report, clip 7.
And is the price of not pushing back at Donald Trump, that is the price of continuing this sort of Trump whisperer approach, this try to flatter him, try to get him on side, strike a nice little trade deal with him, as Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, did last summer, that deal, which is now in jeopardy. All of that, if you continue that approach, it sounds good in the short term, but might you just end up exactly where we are right now, which is why Europe is putting on the table initially some retaliatory options, including tariffs, upwards of $107 billion, 93 billion euros. And as Emmanuel Macron put out there on the table, a weapon never before used by Europe. It's an anti-coercion measure, which would actually restrict access for U.S. companies to Europe and restrict investment as well.
The seething pot. It's starting to boil. It's heating up. This one here is from Sky News Australia, just talking about the state of NATO and how basically it's dead. Clip 3.
If they do anything of the kind that they're talking about with Greenland, even though the officials and heads of state met and here in America and said we agreed to disagree, this would be the death knell of NATO. And the Americans know that. If they touch Greenland, they're basically leaving NATO and leaving NATO to themselves and saying, we don't need you, want you, or value you.
Jeroboam knows it. I mean, Europe knows it. Europe thinks it's already in place. That's why they're building their war machine. They know NATO's finished. And this, too, going back to he was right, I mean, Herbert Armstrong was on this from the very beginning. The fact that Britain was not going to be in the EU or the European Empire, it's still going to be downsized. It's still going to come down to that group of 10 nations or groups of nations because Revelation 17 says it. But I mean, everything is falling in line. And you know, as Sam was telling me this morning, you know, whether it's an Antiochus that hates America or a Jeroboam that loves America, if you don't put God first, it's still going to end in disaster. If you don't look to God, if you don't look to the Prince of Peace, it's still going to fail in the end. That's the message that our nations need. That's the message our people need. God comes first. I mean, when you're talking about yourself, or congratulating yourself as the greatest peacemaker in history, you have to think, okay, what does God think about that? What's God's position? Given all the scriptures, too, that say that human beings don't know the way to peace. And just looking at the history, our 6,000 years of history of human civilization, it's been the history of war. War is upon us. I mean, we may not have the missiles and the bullets flying yet, but that's coming. This is on Truth Social from President Trump over the weekend. Starting on February 1st, all of the above-mentioned countries, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and Finland will be charged a 10% tariff on any and all goods sent to the United States. And of course, Europe's going to respond, as you just heard from those clips. And then right as this is being said, I mean, you've got the largest trade deal ever between Europe and South America, Central South America. It's pretty amazing. This is President Trump's letter to the PM of Norway. Considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped 8 wars, plus I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, although it will always be a predominant, but can now think about what is good and proper for the U.S. Denmark cannot protect that land, speaking of Greenland, from Russia or China, and why do they have a right of ownership anyway? There are no written documents. It's only a boat that landed there hundreds of years ago, but we had boats landing there also. He says, I have done more for NATO than any person since its founding, and now NATO should be doing something for the United States. It says the world is not secure unless we have a complete and total control of Greenland. So here, and here again, if you're looking to God and you know it is in our national interest or for national security to secure this island, that's one thing. But when you're not looking to God and when the whole world is aligning against you, freezing you out, then you know it's not going to end well. Play this from ABC News, clip 8.
European leaders pushing back against President Trump's latest threat on America's closest allies, escalating his demand to acquire Greenland. Trump now warning 8 key NATO allies, including Denmark, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, that they will face tariffs, starting with 10% in February, until a deal is reached for the complete and total purchase of Greenland. Nearly 30 European ambassadors holding an emergency meeting Sunday. Even some Republicans fear the president is putting the nation's most important alliance in jeopardy.
He wants to purchase Greenland, that's one thing, but for him to militarily invade would turn Article 5 of NATO on its very head and, in essence, put us at war with NATO itself.
Now, the president's new tariff threat comes as the Supreme Court could hand down a decision on whether or not the president's sweeping tariffs are legal at any moment, possibly as soon as tomorrow.
And if he gets the backing from the Supreme Court, well, we're in the midst of a trade war. This is from Deutsche Welle. Germany-U.S. rift is looming after a year of Trump. I'll just rattle off some of these headlines. I don't know if I'll have time to read all the excerpts. Says here, the second term of U.S. President Trump has brought unprecedented strain on a once solid German-American relationship. The issue of Greenland could be a tipping point. As I said earlier, who could have ever imagined this? Greenland! 50,000 residents. I think it's like 25% bigger than Alaska. I mean, it's a huge piece of land for sure. Very strategic. Everyone knows it. And, you know, just looking at it, you know, from a MAGA perspective, those that, you know, even care about this, as I say, I think a lot of that base wants the domestic concerns dealt with. But those that would support this, even looking at it from their perspective, I mean, you could see, yeah, we've paid for NATO primarily. We've protected you since the end of World War II. You can't really defend Greenland against Russia and China, so we're going to take it. Well, as I said earlier, that would be one thing if you were really looking to God for guidance, for direction, for humility, for safety. Germany-U.S. rift is looming after a year of Trump. That's the headline. The German public's attitude toward Trump became clear in a survey conducted in early January. Only 15% of respondents said that they see the United States as a reliable partner. Is that significant? The Germans are aligning themselves together. It's an empire without the emperor. That's it. As soon as the emperor shows up, I mean, you think things are going fast now? About 76% said that they can no longer trust the U.S. Further on, it says, but long before the latest escalation over Greenland, under current circumstances, it seems almost unthinkable that Donald Trump would visit soon. The relationship is that strained. It's that contentious. This is from Richard Palmer's Morning Brief. The 8 affected European countries issued a joint statement, the ones that had the tariffs slapped on them, saying that President Trump's threats undermine transatlantic relations and risk a dangerous downward spiral. They're planning emergency meetings. They're concluding that this is the end of NATO. This other one from Politico. Trump's Greenland threats push Europe toward divorcing America. That's from Politico. I mean, just think about these headlines. Trump's threat of punitive tariffs against anyone who tries to stop him from taking Greenland was the final straw. Divorce, they believe, is now inevitable. In private, it says, dismayed European officials describe Trump's rush to annex the sovereign Danish territory as crazy and mad, asking if he is caught up in his warrior mode after his Venezuela adventure and saying he deserves Europe's toughest retaliation. And again, Europe may not have all the power it needs just yet to retaliate like it wants to, but you've got the largest trade deal ever. That happened on January 17th. They had been negotiating it for years, for decades. And now it's done. Isaiah 23. Deutsche Welle, another headline. Greenland, Europe to counter Trump blackmail, Germany says. Germany's being blackmailed, you see? Europe's being blackmailed. Trump is Orange Hitler. Trump's going to name it Orange Land, as one tweet said, not Greenland. Germany-U.S. rift, Deutsche Welle. The critic, why Trump is good for Europe. Others see it as a wonderful thing because, well, this just gives rise to another empire, a competitor. Is America still a friend of Europe or even a potential foe? That's a question being asked across Europe as Trump threatens to annex Greenland and shrugs off international law. Tensions between America and Europe have only increased in the past few years. Further down, it says, but what if all of this, from the tough love to the ruthless power politics, what if it was fundamentally good for Europe? What if this helps Europe? What if this gives Europe more power? What if this gives Europe an excuse to build a war machine? What if this gives Europe an excuse to freeze out the United States on trade? Again, why Trump is good for Europe over at George Friedman's website. He says, I can't figure out Trump's latest move. I do not fully understand why he thinks the U.S. lacks sufficient control under the current agreement with Denmark. In other words, you know, we can already put troops there. It's, you know, it's together with the other NATO members. But that, again, that's really the underlying significance here, is it just shows that NATO's blowing up, that America is in opposition to Europe, that Europe sees America as a foe, not a friend. And now you just wait for the war machine to be completed and, of course, the emperor to preside over it. Listen to clip 9 here.
We had a very good morning in Berlin. We had a workshop. We had a good French-German meeting, and we were talking about how we now can strengthen Europe and what we can bring together to Brussels. And this is really important because we're both convinced this is a very European moment, and we should really work together when it comes to decisions now in Europe. And it's also the personal friendship, but also it's necessary that our two countries really work together in the situation. Ich würde aufs Deutsche wechseln und
I would like to switch to German and say a few words about what we discussed this morning regarding President Trump's threat to impose additional tariffs on selected countries in Europe. We agree that there must be a united, coordinated, but also a clear response from Europe. The message but that is unmistakable to me is that we will not be blackmailed and that we stand together in solidarity in Europe. We don't want an escalation. We are not looking for an escalation. but we are prepared for the moment it comes. And then, let me say something that also defines our work. The most important thing we Muse do now is work towards a strong, capable, sovereign, and I would also say a self-confident European Union. We have a few steps to take, but this morning we were very closely examining the question of what Germany and France can actually do now to, for example, advance the capital markets union and ensure that innovative companies in the scale-up phase can really be supported through additional financing. It is a very important element when it comes to advancing the saving and invest union. We want to strengthen European patriotism and also introduce protective mechanisms.
Here, as I've made this point before, here again, you've got to try to weigh the words that are being said. These are the finance ministers from Germany and France, by the way. And sometimes when you listen to the European elites, you know, you nearly want to go take a nap or fall asleep. But it's not the Hitler-like rhetoric with the shouting and anger. As my father's even said, I mean, you look at Daniel 8, Daniel 11, it's going to be a little more sophisticated this time around. But history is going to repeat itself. Europe is retaliating. Europe understands what it has to do now. It's so clear. They're fighting back. You've got the largest trade deal in history between Europe and those Mercosur nations. It's amazing to think about the size of that conglomerate. As I read to you earlier, I wanted to get to the, I see I'm about out of time, but I wanted to get to the montage that we had about the escalating tension there in Minneapolis. I mean, this is not a sign of, you know, health and strength and peace here in the United States when you see the Minneapolis police just basically turn the streets over to the thugs. And so many of them are paid actors coming from the far left, chasing down people that look like they're even supporting ICE. And President Trump, I mean, talking about, you know, the Insurrection Act last week, he kind of dialed that back. And I had a montage for Friday, which we never got to, but there's quite a few conservative commentators and politicians that are saying, come on, go ahead and declare it. As he has said, a lot of presidents have used this power. You've got to restore order to the streets of Minneapolis. If it doesn't get stopped there, I mean, where's it going to be next? We saw how quickly that spread during the Summer of Love in 2020. This is clip 11.
Tensions rising in Minnesota as the Pentagon says 1,500 active duty soldiers are on alert for possible deployment to Minneapolis. This comes after President Trump threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act in order to deploy federal troops. But in recent days, the president seeming to walk that back.
If I needed it, I'd use it. I don't think there's any reason right now to use it. But if I needed it, I'd use it. It's very powerful.
Get out of Minnesota!
After more than 10 days of protests throughout the city over the deadly shooting of 37-year-old mother of three, Renee Good, by Officer Jonathan Ross, anger is growing between state and local officials and the federal government.
This weekend, protesters confronted and drove out a smaller group supporting the surge of ICE agents. Minnesota's governor has mobilized the state's National Guard. If deployed, troops say they'll wear yellow vests to distinguish themselves, but they could be federalized.
This ICE detention center behind me has been a flashpoint for weeks, pitting federal agents against protesters. And as tensions remain, we soon could see troops on the streets of Minnesota.
The mayor and the governor have allowed this kind of violence to be perpetuated across Minneapolis, is why there's other innocent people that are impacted throughout the city, but throughout their state as well.
We are doing everything possible to keep the peace, notwithstanding this occupying force that has quite literally invaded our city. I mean, we've got 600 cops in the city of Minneapolis, and we're talking about 3,000 plus ICE agents and border control that have come in. They're not making our city safer.
Tensions have steadily escalated since the death of Rene Good, who was shot and killed by an ICE agent on January 7th. Today, the U.S. military posted this video of the Minnesota National Guard preparing for deployment, and a U.S. defense official confirmed to CBS News soldiers with the 11th Airborne Unit based in Fairbanks, Alaska, are on standby. The troops highly trained for battle in cold weather extremes.
Targeted, precise, pre-planned operations on violent offenders. That is a good thing. But I'm concerned that people in the administration don't actually understand the reality of what's happening on the street.
Chief O'Hara told us the city's 911 system is overwhelmed by complaints about immigration enforcement.
What are you seeing?
Seeing multiple calls of people who have been subjected to tear gas, pepper spray.
We need more water. Yeah.
At least one case, a person was removed from a vehicle and the car wasn't even placed in park and it was rolling down the roadway.
Take it off. He gave me a chance. There you go. I got you.
You can see why some MAGA members are saying enough with Venezuela and Greenland and tariffs and everything else. They don't want to see a replay of 2020. Look at, you know, my son made this remark. He was performing last night in Minneapolis and he interviewed a few people on the street around the venue. We told him probably be better to stay close to the venue. But, you know, he just said all it would take is just one. I mean, you almost had it with that that woman that was shot dead. But what if, you know, what if a few right-wing conservative MAGA members show up and fight back against these deranged lunatics? Just needs a little. It's like the world, right? It just takes a spark. And then there's an explosion. That's what we've got to be ready for. This is from The Federalist. It says, Trump has a real insurrection on his hands in Minnesota. The American people are once again witnessing Minneapolis descend into chaos as left-wing militants hold the city hostage to obstruct law enforcement primarily on behalf of illegal aliens and criminal scammers who have culturally decimated the city. How is it that there's this much corruption in an American city? How did this happen? Well, you've got to go back, don't you? I mean, so much of it was made worse the moment Herbert Armstrong died. That's the truth. Satan and his demons were cast down. And God's trying to get our attention. I mean, it's amazing, as one of our news gatherers said, I mean, God's also just sent Celtic Throne right into war zones. It happened in Israel last summer, and Minneapolis is practically a war zone. And yet we had the most people for that performance, that show, of any on this mini tour. And it continues, by the way, tomorrow night in Indianapolis. I think there's two shows in Indiana. And then Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to finish it off on Sunday, I believe it is. CelticThrone.com. But it is a stark contrast all of this violence, this war, warring among nations, communities, law enforcement agencies. And God sends in this very hopeful and also prophetic message. PJ Media says Minneapolis anti-ICE riots escalate in violence. Independent journalists order reported several days ago that rioters were randomly wrecking civilians' cars that had no connection to ICE. Today, he begged President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act as rioters set traps like pouring water on the icy streets to cause federal vehicles to skid off the road. Domestic terrorists are also blocking roads to prevent the arrests of dangerous foreign criminals. They want to save the criminals. They want to save the scammers. They want to get Trump. They want to fight Trump. Earlier this week, this is also PJ Media, an ICE official or officer had to shoot an illegal alien criminal in the leg after the alien and others violently assaulted the officer with a shovel. That was from last week. Back to the Federalist. Trump has an insurrection on his hands. It says all the evidence indicates that an insurrection is taking place in Minneapolis, not like the fake one on January 6, 2021. This one has real violence, real obstruction of official proceedings, real consequences, and actual intent. This one has actual institutional support from members of Congress, governors, mayors, and possibly state and local police officers. It says, though it's unclear if those officers are simply being held hostage by their political leadership. Another one at the Federalist says the propaganda press keeps trying to turn radical anti-ICE agitators into victims. Another one, headline, only government force can stop Democrats from plunging America into darkness. It's quite a headline. As I say, you're seeing quite a lot of muscle flexing abroad coming from the Jeroboam administration, but not as much, not now anyway. They've certainly made some progress at the southern border to stop the flow of illegals, but look at the resistance they're meeting to just try to get the illegals out. The ones that are the worst criminals. Only government force can stop this. The Federalist says a cursory investigation into any of the major contention points between the right and left dominating the news cycle in the past weeks reveals that Democrats started each of these battles and they love fighting them. It's a war. The spirit of war is everywhere. Trade war, political war, a war of rhetoric. And of course, eventually, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, it's all going to lead to a hot war, to an actual war. And there are plenty of signs around the world showing that where this is leading. I just would refer you back to, you know, the Olivet Prophecy in Matthew 24, but also the He Was Right booklet. As I said at the start, I mean, it's been recently expanded and updated, and it covers the signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong for sure, but so many others along the way where he was just spot on, like that 1962 quote I gave to you about a trade deal that would freeze out America and Britain. God lays it out there for us in Bible prophecy. He recorded so many of these prophecies thousands of years ago. And of course, the Trumpet magazine, that sheds light on all these world events, prophetic light, so that you can know the significance, so that you can receive tomorrow's news today. You can get a subscription to the Trumpet or request He Was Right by just calling our operators today or going to our website, thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.